Welcome back to Conversations with Her. My name is Phaedra Prendergast, Editor-in-Chief of WTC Magazine, the number one print and digital magazine for all things enterprise and community. I share stories of women who are typically never found on the front line and place them on our front covers to inspire the next generation of female leaders.
Dina and Anushka are the mother and daughter duo who created Celia Knightsbridge. During the global pandemic, they took the brand to the next level and emerged as one of the leading pre-loved platforms for luxury pieces, ultimately making them the most reputable reseller of authentic brands in the UK. Today, I'm joined by Anushka as she talks about balancing being a businesswoman and a mother, what the key aspects of running the business are, and what's next for Celia Knightsbridge.
So yes, I know that there's been some really exciting things happening, you know, with Celia Knightsbridge, because of course you're opening your new store in Monaco. So, you know, tell us a little bit about that and the stage that you're at right now with that opening.
So I guess for us, the past 3 years since we started our business has been an absolute whirlwind. But what we really found actually that completely transformed our sales was Brexit. Because prior to Brexit, we were shipping so much stock to European customers.
Oh, yeah.
And then when that happened, we saw that they almost overnight pretty much disappeared. So we very quickly realized that in order to meet the existing demand of our European clients, we would need to have a European presence.
Absolutely.
And Monaco seemed like the most obvious place in the world because it's an amazingly kind of wealthy little, I would almost say, commune in Europe with this really deep level of luxury stock because I don't think there's anywhere else in the world where people can luxury in
absolutely
quite the same way as Monaco.
I agree.
It's crazy. So for us, it was an absolute no-brainer to open our HQ in Monaco, and actually, hopefully, we'll be open at the end of this month. So we're just putting our finishing touches.
Oh, I love that.
Right,
I love that. Yeah. At the end of the month. Oh, I must come and visit. I bet it's going to be divine.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
Amazing. And of course, you know, you're also based in Knightsbridge, which is the heart of luxury, of course, in London. So, you know, you're in these really, really great locations. And, you know, you're at the heart of sustainability, you know, with your pre-loved items. And what has it been like, you know, this past year for Celia? And the fact that, you know, there's been such heavy talk about sustainability and your pieces?
I mean, that's such an interesting question also for me, because I remember when we were starting out, and in a way, we're still a relatively young business, we're only 3 years old.
Yes.
But when you spoke to people about pre-loved, there's always that kind of hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
How would they react to luxury having a previous life?
Mm-hmm.
And in 3 short years, we've seen the perception change completely.
Yeah.
Pre-loved has gone from something that people used to buy in order to make a saving to something that even the wealthiest of people have bought into because they understand the importance of sustainability.
Absolutely.
The people are no longer shopping with us because actually they want to get a bargain. They're shopping with us because we have amazing curated luxury products and they want to extend the life of something that's already kind of out there and they don't necessarily want to be buying new.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been that incredible shift in perception. We really feel it in our business.
I love that. That is incredible. And of course, you know, a large part of, you know, these amazing, beautiful luxury products that the customer sees, you know, in store and online is all coming from a place of really, really great admin and, you know, those important hours of planning time. You know, tell me about that time that you take to really focus on that back end and what the process is for you.
absolutely. I mean, it's such an interesting question you've asked, because I think from the outside, it seems like we have a very, very simple business model. Mm-hmm. You see a beautiful item, it's obviously gone online and it's sold. Mm-hmm. But actually, 90% of what we do, of the important work, takes place before the item is even in our hands.
Right.
So every morning, I will wake up, and actually over the course of the day as well, and pretty much constantly we'll be getting submissions to our Instagram, to our website, to our WhatsApp, and to my direct personal phone from existing clients. And it's a very small team of us, it's me and two other people, and what we'll do is we'll go through those submissions and see which items are the best here.
Right.
What items would we take and would get our customers excited? We would then price those items, mm-hmm. and our customers would then drop those items to us. Mm-hmm. And that's where the really important work begins. And for us, that is authentication, mm-hmm. checking condition, mm-hmm. and making sure that the item is actually as perfect as we expected it,
yes.
to be. So that is the core of our business, and really the most important part in my mind.
Absolutely. And you know, it's usually the admin side of things that people find really tedious, but I think if you get that part right, then everything else is seamless.
Absolutely. And I always tell my staff, I mean, this is something that we cannot afford to get wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be 100%, just 100% bulletproof,
yes.
especially things like authentication, because when you're selling such high value stock,
yeah.
the last thing you want to do is get something wrong.
That is very, very true. And now tell me about, you know, being a mother and being a business owner.
I think in a sense, we're often told that as women, we need to aim to have it all.
Yeah.
That you can be a mom, you can be a business owner. But actually, in my personal experience, I think if you're expecting that you can have it all, you're kind of setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah.
Because actually, I don't think it matters what gender you are. If you're a man or a woman, it's very difficult to balance family and a successful career. And I think that's a reality. And if we acknowledge that and accept that and embrace that, we're actually going to be far better equipped to find that balance that's,
yes.
perfect for us.
Yes.
And for each person, it's completely individual.
Yes.
I mean, for me, I've got two very young children. Mm-hmm. So I have an 18-month-old and a 4-year-old.
Wow.
And I find that even though I work incredibly hard over the course of the day, I still try and find the time to have those kind of really valuable interactions with my children.
Yes.
But at the same time, I know that I might not be as present as, say, a stay-at-home mum.
Yeah.
And actually, if you ask me, that is the hardest job in the world.
Yes.
But at the same time, I do think that I want to be able to show both my son and especially my daughter that there are all sorts of options out there.
Yes.
So if she,
yes.
wants to be a stay-at-home mum, that's brilliant. If she wants to have a career,
yes.
that's equally amazing. And if she wants to do both, I would absolutely support that, and I want to be an example to her. So actually, I don't particularly want to push her in any direction. I just want her to be who she wants to be and have an example that, yeah, anything's possible.
That's very powerful. And in that time that, you know, you're, you know, managing so many things, are to-do lists, you know, your best friend?
Oh my gosh, yes. I literally start every day with a list just in a little notepad of things I need to tick off,
yeah.
for that day.
Yeah.
And I try and do the hardest stuff first thing in the morning.
Okay.
So kind of towards the evening, it's more routine work.
Yes, yes.
So it's probably the same in your
yeah.
line of work.
Yes.
You probably literally are slaves to the to-do list,
yes.
which I definitely am.
Yes, absolutely. I've got notebook upon notebooks of to-do lists. So it's always interesting to hear how other, you know, women, other business women do their to-do lists as well. I think it's just so funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how do you unwind? Because of course, you know, you're doing something that, you know, you really love and you're really passionate about, but do you have those down hours to, you know, be creative and, you know, just rejuvenate, really.
I mean, for me, obviously work is my passion. So a lot of the time, the problem is when I'm working, it doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
So I end up going into a rabbit hole that turns into a 14-hour day. And suddenly I look at the clock and it's nearly midnight.
Sounds familiar.
I know, but I do try and kind of make time for exercise regularly, eat well, just do the basics to look after myself and stay healthy. But for me, I always work towards a particular goal. So right now it's just holiday in a sunny, warm place in January. So I'll just blitz through until then, kind of go, go, go. And in terms of unwinding in the evenings, it's probably the same as everyone else.
Yeah.
A bit of Netflix, a bit of Vino. And I'm happy, frankly.
I love that. I love that. That's very, very transparent. I love that. And what are, I know this might be a difficult question, actually. What are maybe three of your favorite pieces right now on the Celia Knightsbridge website?
Okay. So this morning we dropped a Chanel mini in ice blue.
Wow.
We've called it the Frozen Mini.
It's
the Chanel Native 21K collection.
Yeah.
It was produced in teeny, teeny, tiny quantities, so impossible to buy.
Yes.
It sold in about 5 seconds.
Wow.
So that was one of my favorite We have a pair of Chanel Granddad sandals that have just dropped, and those are kind of the shoes of the year. Again, unbuyable. Bizarrely, they retail pre-loved to double the retail price in the store because they're impossible to get. But we've obviously priced them below retail, so those are amazing, an amazing buy. And we have a black Kelly bag that I just think is so classic and timeless. And I mean, an Hermes bag really doesn't get better than that, if you ask me.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And of course, you're one of the key things, I think, as well, for your business is, you know, relationships. And I'd imagine that, you know, part of what you spend your time doing is building those. What has it been like, you know, building and cultivating those relationships and managing them and ensuring that they do stay, you know, I'm the words are failing me, but just ensuring that those relationships stay there.
So I guess an interesting part of our business, actually, a lot of the time something starts off as a purely kind of transactional relationship.
Yes.
I've got these things. Can you please sell them? Yes, we can.
Yes.
Okay, we sold them.
Yes.
And actually, with time, we find that that evolves into a friendship.
Yes.
So we're not the business who are like, oh, come, let's be best friends. Get your stock. In that sense, we're kind of, we do our job and we do our job well.
Yes.
But we've been lucky enough to meet so many incredible people that actually what started off as us selling their items has definitely turned into a friendship.
Yes.
And that kind of I love. So this summer I was in Monaco working towards the opening of our new premises. And obviously a lot of our sellers kind of are on the French Riviera for the summer, and literally basically, every other day I'd have lunch with a Celia seller or a dinner. And actually, it wasn't really business development. It's actually because there's a lot of shared interests there.
Absolutely.
So fashion and kind of that appreciation of luxury.
Yes.
And yeah, I've made some amazing friends along the way.
Yes, I can imagine. I can imagine. And have you noticed a difference between the way, you know, your customers shop or your clients shop between, you know, here and, you know, Monaco or the other places in Europe where your customers are based?
Oh, well, it's so interesting because you can definitely, definitely detect trends. For example, we find that we ship a lot of really high value ready to wear to America. So for some reason, our clients in North America would happily spend kind of a few grand on beautiful ready-to-wear, say Gucci, Christian Dior, and a variety of items in one big shop.
Yeah.
Whereas our British customers they love, love, love handbags. And then maybe they get a bit less excited about clothes, not in the way that our American customers do.
Yes,
so
yeah.
You definitely detect certain trends in different places. And I think that's really interesting, the way different people shop.
Absolutely, absolutely. So has that helped you a lot with, you know, what you'll place in your store in Monaco and such?
I think definitely, because in a way, we're still really discovering what the European market likes.
Yes.
Because unlike the UK and I guess North America, it's a bit less clear cut, because in Europe, they really shop a bit of everything. So I think in Monaco, again, we're going to try and curate our offering to offer a bit of everything,
yeah,
and see how that goes.
I love that. And what does the future of Pre-Loved look like to you? Because I think the fact that it's taken so long for us to catch on with, you know, clothing and bags and accessories and such, but we've been doing it for ages, you know, with cars and so on. What do you think the future of Pre-Loved looks like and being sustainable?
I think the Pre-Loved as an industry, I mean, what I'm seeing on my end is that really every week there's maybe a new Pre-Loved business selling luxury clothes.
Yes.
And actually, in my mind, that's great, because the market is so big.
Yeah.
So big.
Yeah.
And they're kind of players at each level of the game.
Yeah.
So whereas we might be selling super brands, someone else might be selling entry-level luxe labels.
Yes.
And they'll have a market for that. So I think it's fantastic. Long-term, we might see more consolidation, I think, as companies are acquired by bigger brands. So I think that's kind of the long-term direction that we're seeing. But yeah, I think more people in the game, more stock, and again, more people buying and selling Pre-Loved.
Absolutely. And what are three key things you've learnt over the last 3 years, or even three key tips that you would give to another, you know, businesswoman like yourself that is perhaps in her first year or is looking to start out with her business?
I guess one of the major things that I've learned in this time is that you can never really judge other people by what you can and also what you can't do.
Yes.
So sometimes it's very easy to say, oh, well, I could do that. Why can't? Why is it so hard for someone else?
Yeah.
Especially maybe someone in your team. But I think I really quickly realised that actually everyone, and it's almost trite, but it's something that you do have to understand. Everyone has their own kind of abilities. And your job is to really bring the best out in people and to find those things that perhaps you yourself are lacking in and try and get those things out of a staff member, a team member that actually might be better than you at something. So I think that's really important, to be able to identify what people are great at and also what people bring to the table that you can't.
Yes.
And I think that's very important in a successful company, because you're never going to be able to do kind of loads of things.
Everything,
actually.
So
that's important. The second thing is, and I used to, at the beginning, this was terrible, is not to get really upset when things go wrong. Because when it's your business, there's a tendency to kind of say, I'm giving this everything. How could this have happened? Or how could this person not have realised that I've done the best job I've
done? I completely understand that.
At the beginning, to get very emotional, especially when things go tits up.
Absolutely.
And now, actually, 3 years down the line, I realise, you know what? Things will go wrong.
Absolutely.
It's the reality. Do not get freaked out about that.
Yes.
Just take it as something that happens. It's business. Take a deep breath, deal with it professionally, move on, don't dwell on it. So that's kind of my number two. So don't get discombobulated by things going wrong. And I guess number three, it's kind of trust the timing of your business. Don't try and grow too quickly. Don't try and load yourself up with debt or do X, Y, and Z. I think it's really important to really take a sober look at your business and to grow as your business grows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back at the start of our business, when we were starting, people were saying, oh, can I invest in you? Oh, can I give you some money? And at the time, we did consider it, but in the end, it was kind of like, no, actually, we prefer to do this ourselves. And 3 years down the line, we've got a business that's 100% family owned, that's had no outside investment, that's really successful, and all because actually we trusted our own timing, mm-hmm. and we let ourselves grow at our pace, and we didn't rush anything. And actually at the beginning, we could have said, yes, give us money, we're going to grow, and we're going to rush into this big thing. And actually, no, it's been really nice. But 3 years down the line, we're an amazing size. We've done it all ourselves.
Yes. I love that. Anishka, it has been an absolute pleasure having you. Those were some amazing tips, and it was a really great conversation. Thank you.
Oh,
and
thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. I really, really enjoy talking to you.
Thank you, Anishka, for being our guest this week. I had a fantastic time speaking to you, and I know our listeners have too. Of course, Anishka, alongside her mother Dina, is one of the big Fashion Issues cover girls, and you can learn more about her and Dina and Celia Knightsbridge online at wotcmagazine.com. And of course, join us next time for another conversation with her.